Roman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So this has been kind of a developing story for a while, including on draft night. Brandon Ayuk wants out of San Francisco, or he wants a new deal. One or the other. When a guy wants out, it's either because a guy wants a new contract and they've told him, we're not going to give you a new contract, or it's because a guy hates the coach. It's one or the other. Very rarely is it a Ryan McDonough situation where the guy just wants to go back with his family to the city that he played in before. Ayuk wants out, and he's going all A.J. Brown right now, trying to get his way. And the truth is, the way he's approaching this, and that video he did with Jaden Daniels last week was no accident. Ayuk wants his new contract today, or he wants to be traded. But former NFL general manager Randy Mueller wrote in The Athletic, he's not going anywhere and will ultimately get his deal. But Randy Mueller says after San Francisco drafted Ricky Pierce all out of Florida in the first round, that maybe another San Francisco wide receiver could be on the block. Mueller writes at The Athletic, quote, they have Deebo Samuel under contract at $23.8 million a year and doubled down by drafting Florida's Ricky Pearsall in the first round. Pearsall's security in San Francisco is clear, but Samuel, not so much. In the 49ers offensive hierarchy, his playmaking skills with the ball are second only to running back Christian McCaffrey. But as a receiver, talking about Deebo Samuel, he might be their third or fourth best option in 2024, depending on whom you ask. Mueller goes on to write, ultimately, I expect Ayuk would sign for around $30 to $32 million annually with about $50 million fully guaranteed. And you said he wasn't worth $28 million. Mueller continues, that would give him something to hang his hat on. The question then becomes, do the 49ers value him that much more than their other options? Even if it's a bit more than what they had budgeted. Mueller says, I think a deal will get done before camp starts when time is of the essence. Then IU can make sure to put St. Brown in with the Detroit Lions. That they can put him down on his holiday card list and the 49ers can move on to their next problem. What to do with Deebo Samuel? Maybe even before the season starts. Remember, it's all about options. So what Randy Mueller writes is you can't have Brandon Ayuk, who I'd rather have than Deebo Samuel if I were the Titans, but you might be able to get Deebo Samuel. So now let's turn our attention. At first, we were talking about Brandon Ayuk. Because it's Brandon Ayuk who's unhappy. It's Brandon Ayuk who's due a new contract. It's Brandon Ayuk who's doing the video with Jaden Daniels. But this GM is telling you that deal will get done. That deal will get done soon enough, probably around the start of camp. It'll be $30 million a year. It'll get done. Don't worry about that. But once they make that deal, then they may look to move Deebo Samuel. Which takes us to the Titans. Would it be worth it to try to work out a trade for Deebo Samuel? Remember, if they sign Brandon Ayuk after drafting Ricky Pearsall, and they tell themselves, we're going to have to move somebody, and it's probably going to be Deebo, it does make sense that they would want to move Deebo. Because they know in San Francisco that Brock Purdy next season is going to be worth about $56 million a year. This year, he's $975,000. Next year, he's $56 million, unless something goes horribly wrong. So I know that the cap's fake, but the money is not. And nobody has infinity dollars. So would it be worth it for the Titans to call up on Deebo Samuel? The Titans have signed Calvin Ridley. And they've signed Tyler Boyd, but only Ridley is under contract for next year. DeAndre Hopkins is not, and neither is Tyler Boyd. Deebo will be 28 this year, and I think there was some Titans social media chatter that ran Carthon was the one that bridged the gap between San Francisco and Debo. When Debo went all A.J. Brown on them and they didn't acquiesce to Debo, they said, no, we're going to get a deal done. We're not going to trade Debo. And Debo wanted a trade and Debo was bitching and Debo was everything. And they said, no, we're going to get a deal done with Debo. And there is some Titans social media chatter, which doesn't mean that I have any idea if this is true or not. Because, again, when it comes to Titans social media chatter, everything Rand Carthon does is good. And everything the 49ers did successfully was because of Rand Carthon. But there was some commentary that when Debo was unhappy with the 49ers, that it was Rand Carthon that brought him back to the table. Again, I don't necessarily believe that because at the end of the day, Torrey Dandy's an agent and Torrey Dandy's a pretty good agent and Torrey Dandy is not going to cut off his own communication with the team. And if John Lynch is calling Torrey Dandy's cell phone, Torrey Dandy's going to take it. And when they offer all the money that they offered Debo Samuel, you know, they got to go over the deal. But again, if Rand was the one who bridged the gap, then that would mean that, hey, they might have a good relationship. But remember, isn't that the biggest thing about Rand? He's got the best relationships. Well, here's what I know about Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel is a dog. And you get better by adding good players like Debo Samuel. So if it really is a money thing, and if it really is a San Francisco's going to pay Brandon Ayuk no matter what, and once they pay Ayuk, and then they have to pay Purdy, they could be looking to get out from under the Debo Samuel contract. What they would want in return for Debo, I assume, would be a lot less than it would be if somebody were to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, we'd like to trade for Debo Samuel. I mean, they can't get rid of Nick Bosa because they don't have a second Nick Bosa. They can't get rid of Fred Warner because they don't have a second Fred Warner. They can't get rid of Trent Williams or George Kittle because they don't have another Trent Williams. But Ayuk is a better receiver than Debo Samuel right now, and they just drafted a receiver in the first round. I could see it. Again, I'm not sitting here banging the table saying, the Titans need Debo Samuel, but I am saying that at some point they are going to have to get a wide receiver who is not 37 years old. And Debo is 28. And that's a guy who could be here for the next 3 years that could grow with Levis. Again, just a thought. I am not starting anything. I am not demanding it. I am not saying they should do it. I am saying if Randy Mueller, a former NFL GM in The Athletic, is right, and they're going to sign Ayuk, and Ayuk's the man, and Debo is the odd man out, I could see the Titans going after Debo, and I think Debo would make sense. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There was one name, when we talked about the receivers the Titans do have, that I did not mention. I mentioned Ridley, I mentioned Hopkins, I mentioned Boyd. But another Titan player goes all in on pumping the Treylon Burks tires. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You know, another guy who I'm also excited to see in that room this year is Treylon. You know, he's been having like that up and down, you know, with the injuries.
Treylon Burks.
And a lot of guys, you know, a lot of people count him out. And, you know, from as far as I'm watching OTAs and I'm watching minicamp, this is going to be one of his years, and I think it's just having guys like Coach Callahan and around him and his new offense, and now you got another veteran like Tyler Boyd with D-Hop that could kind of help him and Kevin just to help him mold a little bit better, especially as a young player. I'm excited to see our offense score a lot of points.
That was Jeffrey Simmons on the Rich Eisen Show, and add him to the list of guys that are just all in on pumping the tires of Treylon Burks. And I'm starting to really have a hard time understanding this Treylon Burks thing. Like, I know that Treylon Burks is a former first-round pick, and not only is he a former first-round pick, but he wasn't taken 26th overall. He was the guy that was brought in, whether it's fair or foul, he was the guy who was brought in to replace A.J. Brown, and he has failed miserably when it comes to replacing A.J. Brown. And yet it's wild to me how many people are talking about Treylon Burks all the time. That answer on the Rich Eisen show was actually a question about Levis. And Simmons talked about how excited he is to see Will Levis play this year. And then he just goes, and another guy I'm excited is Treylon Burks. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess we're talking about Treylon Burks now. And so add him to the list of people. And it almost feels like we're living in this, like, you're either with Treylon Burks or you're against Treylon Burks kind of Titan society. And I don't really understand why we're here. I know how we got here. We got here because it looked like the Titans, after signing Calvin Ridley, after entertaining the idea of bringing in Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. or whomever, it looked like the Titans were out on Burks, especially when they signed Tyler Boyd. But then Brian Callahan got up there and was like, we have big plans for Treylon Burks. Do those plans include going on Will Levis's Cabo trip? No, they do not. But we have big plans for Burks. And then all of a sudden, I hear D-Mace on the midday show start saying, they got to get Burks the ball early in these games. I'm like, what? No, they do not need to draw up plays for Burks. On one hand, Brian Callahan is telling us he's going to have a big role. And then 2 weeks later is saying, yeah, if he wants to be on the team, he's got to play special teams. Reality is much, I think it's crystal clear, as compared to kind of this Titan fandom war about Burks. Some people think Burks is a complete and total bust and you should cut him no matter what, which I don't agree with. Because again, Treylon Burks is due $8 million and that $8 million over the next 2 years is fully guaranteed. So why would you cut him? And when it comes to the fourth receiver spot, who's better than Burks? But on the other hand, Treylon Burks has not been good in the NFL. He had 16 catches last year. 16. That's not good. And yet, every time somebody that wears a Titan logo gets in front of a microphone, they just start wailing about how great Treylon Burks is going to be this year, whether it's the coach, whether it's the wide receivers coach, whether it's the offensive coordinator, whether it's the other receivers, whether it's Jeffrey Simmons. And it's like, how can you expect that to happen when Treylon Burks has never shown you that he's capable of doing that? So I just look at Burks for what he is. He is a backup who, if he has to play, he has to play. And with any backup that goes in there, whether it's Cedric Gray or whether it's whomever, Trey Avery, or there's a hope that when the backup goes in there that he can do the job. In the case of Burks, there's a talent level that doesn't exist with a Trey Avery. But just the expectation that Burks is going to be good, I don't have to have that. And quite frankly, I shouldn't have that. Because in 2 years of being a Tennessee Titan, he hasn't done anything to warrant that. But what happens is a guy like Jeffrey Simmons says that. Add that with what Brian Callahan said. Add that with what Nick Holtz has said. Add that with what Calvin Ridley has said. Add that to all just the positivity around Treylon Burks. And then you get this kind of angst amongst Titan fans of one side says, stop telling me how great Burks is. Everybody else has done that for 2 years, and for 2 years, he hasn't done anything. And the other side of it is, Treylon Burks deserves a chance. It's not fair that he caught 16 passes last year. And we don't need that. We don't need a Treylon Burks kind of civil war. He is what he is. If you can get something better for him, trade him. If you can't, leave him on the team. And if something happens to somebody, put him in the game. That seems very simple to me. I don't even think there should be much of an argument. If he's the fourth receiver and somebody gets hurt, put him in the game. If he's the fourth receiver and nobody gets hurt, keep him on the bench. If somebody has a receiver go down in training camp and they call you up and they say, we'll give you a fourth round pick for him, trade him. If nobody calls you, don't trade them. The end. Instead, it's like, oh no, I'm excited to see this big year for Treylon Burks. I hope that things go to plan. And if things go to plan, that means Burks sits his butt on the bench. I don't expect things to go to plan because everybody gets hurt in the NFL and every team has injuries. But the idea that it's like just this constant pumping of the tires of Treylon Burks, good God, enough already. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Neil is up next on Debo Samuel. Thank you for calling. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call, man. Hopefully you're having a good day.
Sure. Go ahead.
Debo Samuel's a talent. I don't want him here. He's injury hurt. He's had 1 year over 1,000 yards, which is in 2021, and he's always missing time. And the thing that scares me about that would be he's going to want another contract, and I don't think he's worth 28 million. I don't even think he's worth 30 million. But I really hope that the Titans next year can draft some home talent and that we can build a wide receiver on a rookie deal, and eventually that'll pay off. But wide receivers right now are scaring me with their contracts, man. I don't know, except for maybe Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill. I don't even think they're worth $32 million. So that's all I have to
say
about
it. What defines what's worth what defines to you what is worth $32 million? Like, why is Jamar Chase not worth $32 million? Does his team not get $32 million worth of value out of him?
He's not as good as Justin Jefferson. He's hurt a lot. He's been injured almost every year.
Okay, but Justin Jefferson's getting $35 million. I'm talking about $32 million. That's less.
What they're doing is just because one guy gets paid a fat load of money doesn't mean the next guy should get it. I mean, what's eventually going to happen is, I mean, you're going to be blowing water over bums. They're going to be spending $30 million on people that get you 500 yards a season.
So what would you rather do, give the money back to the owners? Because the money's not going to charity. Like, if they don't spend $30 million, if they get Jamar Chase to sign for $25 million, which will never happen. But if they were to do that, that money's not going to charity. That money's not going to feed the poor. That money just goes back to the owner. So you'd rather owner have the money than Jamar Chase have it.
I mean, if it goes to the owner, it goes to the owner. What I'm saying is, like, I feel like
you want the owner should be
rich. The salary cap could be manipulated. I understand that. I'm with you on that one. The salary cap's full of crap. But just because somebody else gets $35 million doesn't mean the next wide receiver should get paid that fat either.
So,
I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Here's what's wild about that. Thank you for your call, Neil. Here's what's wild about that. That's exactly how this works. Like, I know that there's this idea, and I heard Robert Turbin, a former player, that said when Justin Jefferson signed, and he said, well, I just don't think CeeDee Lamb and Jamar Chase are worth that kind of money. I'm like, it doesn't matter what you think. That's not how this works. How this works is the next guy at the top of the league signs a contract that is then the richest contract at that position. That's how it works. That's how it works at left tackle. That's how it works at left guard. That's how it works at wide receiver. That's how it works at pass rusher. That's how it works at quarterback. The problem with the Dallas Cowboys is the Dallas Cowboys are in a spot where they're going to have to pay the next guy contract to a quarterback, a receiver, and a pass rusher. So they're going to have to pay $56 million for the quarterback, at least. They're going to have to pay $35 million for the pass rusher, and they're going to have to pay $36 million for the receiver, because that's exactly how the league works. And I don't totally understand, like, what defines the value of a certain player when you say, well, he's not worth that. CeeDee Lamb is not worth $35 million. You want to know why CeeDee Lamb is worth $35 million? Because if CeeDee Lamb was a free agent, CeeDee Lamb would get $35 million a year. That's why CeeDee Lamb is worth it. And the other thing about these contracts, again, the owners keep making more money. Every year they make more money. Every Peacock game, every Netflix game, they make more money. That money goes to the players. That's the collective bargaining agreement. So the money has to go up. And that's why the contracts go up. So you can sit here and you can tell me that Debo Samuel's not worth the money, but I would argue that Debo is. And we did this with A.J. Brown, right? The Titans offered A.J. Brown $20 million a year. Now, Torrey Dandy, I think, probably lied to A.J. Brown, told him it was 16. But what I believe is they offered him $20 million a year. AJ said he would have taken $22 million. $22 million at wide receiver is a drop in the bucket. You're paying Calvin Ridley more than that right now. If you just want to sit there and say, I'm only interested in the guys that play 17 games, and I am only interested in the guys that don't make a lot of money but are really good, then you better draft great player after great player. You better hit on all your picks because you're not going to get good players if you don't overpay for them. I mean, you're talking about Debo played 15 games last year. Has Debo ever missed a playoff game? Debo last year, 3 playoff games. Debo the year before that, 3 playoff games. Debo the year before that, 3 playoff games. I mean, Debo's pretty good now, even if he does get hurt. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Damn. This is pretty crazy. Oof. Little NFL business info, and then we're right back to your phones. And this might actually affect the money. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program, 615-737-1025. First, though, let me tell you about Twice Daily. Twice Daily has your cravings, and you can save on every single visit. Stop in and get rewarded. All you need to do is join the Twice Daily Rewards program to unlock special discount savings, enter their sweepstakes, and so much more. Celebrating summer with the Chicken Salad Summer at Twice Daily. They've made 2 new additions to their menu, their Flaky Chicken Salad Croissant and their Tasty Chicken Salad Wrap. Plus, they're made fresh in-house and made to order just the way you like it. And since it's summer, do not forget to grab an ice-cold drink, too. You can download the Twice Daily app or order ahead, or you can go right to the made-to-order kiosk. Twice Daily, what are you craving? Do not miss out on Nashville's best deal for Deacon's New South in downtown, where Southern Service meets exceptional service. Their dry-aged steaks and chef-inspired dishes are complemented by inventive sides, and desserts featuring locally sourced produce. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 while supplies last. So how about this? Breaking news, Ian. Do you remember that NFL Sunday ticket trial that's been going on?
I guess we have a verdict.
We have a verdict in the DirecTV Sunday ticket trial. Basically, this all started when a restaurant in San Francisco sued the NFL over Sunday ticket. And I don't know exactly what the details were, but basically that the league was violating their antitrust agreements by making Sunday ticket very expensive and only putting it on satellite and then taking it away from satellite and again, you know, artificially inflating the price and so on and so forth. So this is Megan Cunniff, who is a Southern California independent reporter. And she says that In the verdict, the NFL has lost in the Sunday ticket antitrust trial. The jury orders the NFL to pay $96 million in damages to the commercial class, and $4 billion in damages to the residential class. So that is basically $4.1 billion that the NFL has to pay. I wonder how much money that means that, like, my parents are going to get out of that. Because they've had Sunday tickets since, like, 2005. And I believe this covers, I think, 2011 to 2022. Is if you were a subscriber, I think you're part of the class action year. So I think my parents are getting a check. Now, I don't know how much. It's probably going to be, like, $100 maybe. But, hey, that's not bad. But $4 billion. $4 billion divided by 32 is basically going to be $125 million a team. So the Titans just got $125 million poorer today. Plaintiff's expert put forth a damages model that was at $7 billion. And the The residential damages were actually $4.7 billion.
And I'm seeing 2.4 million residential subscribers in the class action lawsuit.
So what is that? So that means that $4.7 billion divided by $2.4 million?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Oh, I'd have to get out the calculator. One sec.
Ian!
You think I can do that in my head?
I mean, I you know I can't do
it
in my head.
I'm not a genius.
So here's what I wonder. Is this going to hurt the league revenues? I mean, again, each team is now $125 million poorer. Now, $1 million may not matter to these teams, but $125 million matters to these teams. Just take the Titans, for instance. We're paying $1.2 billion for the stadium. The Titans are paying like $700 million plus the cost overruns of the stadium. So if the Titans have budgeted their money out and they say, okay, here's the money we have for the football team, here's the money that we have for our office staff, here's the money that we have for field maintenance, here's the money we have for this, here's the money we have for community outreach, here's our full, you know, overriding budget. Now it's like, oh, and now you got to pay $125 million extra.
Looks like almost $2,000.
That's not bad.
1,958.3 repeating.
Dad, if you are listening right now, and if not, I will send you a text. But you need to get in on this whenever they tell you how to claim that class action lawsuit. That's $2,000. That's a vacation right there. Go do it. But I don't know how this will affect things. But I can promise you the NFL ain't going to be happy about that. Oof. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael's been waiting patiently on NFL player salaries. Michael, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Weird question. You got me thinking when you talked about Dallas and the quarterback, you know, CD, Micah Parsons, and the contracts. Do you ever see a situation where these contracts start to outpace the growth of the contracts, start to outpace the growth of the salary cap? And if so, you know, kind of what kind of implication do you think that might be? You know, kind of like the running back, how you got devalued because you didn't need as much. Do you think that could be a situation, another position where they're like, well, we'll do it by committee. We'll get specialized guys so we can bring the contracts down.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now what's going to hurt all of this, that $4.7 billion. You know, the league revenue last year, and I'm reading from Sportico, the league revenue last year was $19 billion, right? So now, let's say the league's revenue this year is $21 billion. You know, it's going to be in that kind of range. Well, they're going to lose money because they're going to have to pay $4.7 billion in damages. That would, in theory, lower the phony baloney for cock to cap. But what it really means, again, is you're Amy Adams Strunk. You are committed to the stadium. If Amy Adams Strunk went to the city today or went to the fan base today and said, guys, we just got hit with a $125 million fine, which I actually think is more because I was doing $4 billion divided by 32, but this is $4.7 billion divided by 32, so it's probably a lot more than $125 million. It's probably like $130 million. If Amy Adams Strunk went to the fan base or the city or whomever and said, all right, guys, here's the deal. We had the stadium budgeted out. We had, you know, our season ticket numbers budgeted out. We had our salaries for the season budgeted out. We had everything. Our payroll was all. We were totally going to make our budgets. But now, because of this surprise ruling, we are now $130 million poorer, so we're going to have to get rid of some good players, or we're going to have to ask you guys to pay more money, you know, for the new stadium or something like that. You guys would laugh at her. You would say, no, we're not paying more for the stadium. So what does that mean? That means that when they total up the league revenues, they're going to deduct the $4.7 billion, and the people that are going to pay this back are the players. We talked yesterday. Philadelphia has a payroll of $345 million. Forget about the cap, which is $250 million. The Eagles have a payroll of $345 million. Nobody has infinity dollars. Warren Buffett, as much money as he has. Jeff Bezos, as much money as he has. Steve Cohen, who owns the Mets, as much money as those guys have, nobody has infinity dollars. So at some point, the money has to stop. Well, I'm sure Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, when he tells Howie Roseman what the budget is, and he says, hey, you know, we got to pay the extra money to make sure that we get A.J. Brown. We got to pay the extra money to be able to get Saquon Barkley. We got to pay the extra money to be able to get Dallas Goedert paid and our two tackles and our quarterback and whatever. Well, I promise you he didn't think that he was going to be losing an extra $130 million on it. That's like when you've got your finances figured out and all of a sudden your air conditioning goes out. Repairman comes over, says that'll be $9,000. Well, now you're screwed. That is what happened to the NFL, and what that's going to do is that's going to lower the quote-unquote cap, but what I really think is going to happen is the owners are going to spend less, and that will curtail some of the salaries. So when you say, is there a point where this could ever outgrow the rising revenues of the league, here's your answer. It's this lawsuit, which I am fascinated by. One texter says, I know the cap is fake, but how will it affect the cap? I think the cap will go down. Jack says, the real news is that you will now be able to subscribe to one team and get rid of blackouts. What kind of blackouts are there? So, like, if you've got Sunday Ticket through YouTube TV, the Titans are blacked out, but you get the Titans games for free anyways.
They're usually over there, so you shouldn't have to worry about that.
Yes. I mean, I've never seen anybody that's upset ever since the NFL got rid of the attendance blackouts, which were they would black out a game locally
if it wasn't sold out.
Ever since they got rid of that, I don't think there's ever been a local blackout. So that I'm not worried about.
Yeah, they don't black out like Atlanta games or anything, right? I wouldn't think so here.
One texter says the ruling will be shot down on appeal because the number seems grossly high.
They are going to appeal, but
I don't think the number is going to go down, though. Like, that's when Trump got convicted and people were like, this will be thrown out on appeal. I'm like, I mean, maybe, but I can't sit here and tell you that it will be. But people, I guess people are like, well, we just want to believe that, so we'll just say that it's going to happen. I don't know. The number doesn't seem high to me. How much money do you think the NFL's made off a Sunday Ticket over the last 20 years?
It's a lot.
Probably in that $4 billion a year range, whatever it may be. I mean, who knows? One texter says, I'm a Titans fan in Pennsylvania. I can't watch the Titans almost ever on local channels, so a team-only subscription would be massive. Now, again, I'm just kind of reading through this as we're on the air. Does this mean, with the NFL losing the trial, does this mean that now we'll be able to get team-specific buys?
I think so.
What makes you think that?
Just some of what I've been seeing. I think it was the SpotTrack guy.
Okay.
He tweeted out something, you know, people are going to be consumed by the number here, but the real, you know, kicker is it could change how people stream the games.
Good. Go for Bally Sports next. In all seriousness, and I've never sued anybody for anything, I have technically been sued before, and nothing came of that, but I have never sued anybody before, so I don't know how that goes. But if I was ever to launch a class action lawsuit, it would be against Bally Sports.
This is what the tweet says. The dollar amounts will drive a lot of headlines, but the real news here is that fans should soon be able to purchase single-team streaming packages while also, in parentheses, hopefully, being alleviated of the blackout restrictions at some point as well. This should also set the tone for other major sports streaming packages. This is the SpotTrack guy.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Now, I have a thought on this next, and it's kind of out there. Out there is not the right way to say it. This doesn't necessarily have to do with the NFL's streaming. This has to do with, again, what you just said about how this is going to affect the other sports. And I actually think this might be a good thing. which we'll get to coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025, here on the program if you want to weigh in. And tune into The Fan on 94.9 today as the Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Pre-games at 5:50, first pitches at 6:05. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. The local TV here is Bally Sports, yeah, that carries the Predators. I mean, I'm a cord cutter, and I think there are a lot of people out
so
there.
So you're
that are
the
cord
problem.
Cutters. I am the problem. What do you see as the future here? We see Major League Baseball dealing with stuff, and next.
And so
season.
Wait. I mean, there's going to be an evolution in terms of how long term and even short term fans locally get their team. The streaming digital platforms are going to be an option. There may be more national games. But the whole delivery of our content, particularly on the local basis, is going to evolve. Having said that, first and foremost, we want to make sure it's accessible to our fans. And the business model is obviously going to change depending on how we have to do that.
That was Gary Bettman last year at the NHL draft on this program. And I was like saying, what are we going to do about Bally Sports, Gary? And he's like, we're going to have to figure something out. Now, at that point in time, the NHL was negotiating with Bally Sports a deal that they would sign that Bally Sports would later renege on, which was basically the deal with the NBA and with the NHL was at the end of this year, all of the Bally Sports teams would be done with Bally Sports and we could move on and the Predators would be on a different channel or whatever. But then Bally Sports tried to save themselves with a deal with Amazon that people don't really know the exact details of, in order to be able to stream games on Prime Video. And Major League Baseball, who's the real driver behind Bally Sports, was like, whoa, hold on, we're not doing that. Well, now I have to ask the question, because the NFL just lost a $4.7 billion ruling on the Sunday ticket deal. And there have been multiple people that have asked the question, what does this mean for the other sports? Now, I don't know the answer because, again, all we know is that the NFL lost and that it's $4.7 billion and $96 million to the residential class or to the commercial class. And again, $4.7 to the residential class, which is great. But a lot of people are now saying that the other sports are in trouble too because baseball has a similar package and basketball has a similar package. And hockey has a similar package. Now, I think the difference between those are that the baseball package wasn't exclusive to one carrier, whereas Sunday Ticket was. But people are talking about local blackouts. Local blackouts aren't in NFL games. They are in the other games. And I have long begged, you know, these TV contracts are signed for long, you know, these are long TV contracts, like the Dodgers TV contract goes into the 2030s. Right now, baseball, basketball, hockey, they want to be done with Bally Sports. They want out of Bally Sports right now. If you could let them out, they'd be out. They want the judge, who next month is going to decide on Bally Sports, they want the judge to rule bankrupt, see ya, cease operations, move on. That's what I want too. But I have long believed that either the politicians or the courts have got to get involved to save us, the fans, so that we can watch these games on TV. Or that we can stream them, or that we can do something. If a court comes out and says, just like with NIL, if a court comes out, like the Supreme Court came out with NIL, if a court comes out and says, those local blackouts for the big packages, for the Bally's, for the NHL Center Ice package, the MLB Extra Innings package, the NBA League Pass package, the NFL Sunday Ticket package, those are illegal. Then all of a sudden we can all get the Predators without having Bally Sports. Because we can just buy the NHL package and we can all watch the games. And we can all watch the Atlanta Braves with the MLB package, or the Reds if you happen to be one of the 15 people in town that like them. But I don't know that that's happening either. I think right now I'm just hopeful that that's what's going to happen. We should take it to the Supreme Court, Ian.
Yeah, one more thing to do to the Supreme Court.
We should take our grievances with Bally Sports and we should take them to the Supreme Court. One texter says, I'm a law professor who taught sports law a couple of times. See my text immediately above. Antitrust judgments are tripled. Also follow Mike Florio on this. The judge is pro-business, meaning pro-NFL. He was questioning the plaintiff's lawyers skeptically just a few days ago. Florio surmised that the judge would grant a motion for judgment notwithstanding the verdict, meaning that the judge could enter judgment for the NFL notwithstanding the verdict for the plaintiffs. We should wait and see what the judge does. One more thing, class action attorney's fees are huge. I won't and your parents won't see around $6,000. It will be something less than that. Boy, I tell you, our court system on so many different levels is so fracocked. Like, so an antitrust judgment becomes tripled. Why? Like, to me, I'm a believer in do the crime, do the time. I don't believe in, hey, you did the crime. What does the crime carry? Carries 3 years in jail. All right, 10 years in jail. I don't believe in that. If the jury says, and again, this is what our justice system's supposed to be. If the jury says you owe $4.7 billion, then you should owe $4.7 billion. Why should you owe triple that? I think that's stupid. And don't even get me started on all the other things that just drive me crazy. But it's like, oh yeah, no, the lawyer's fees are going to take up pretty much all of that, so nobody's going to get any money anyways. Well, then what's the point of suing? One texter says, I can't get over the air way down in College Grove. I have to pay for Paramount Plus, and I'm out of luck for the other games. Only ABC makes it over the air down there. I would pay for a Titans-only package. Is that true?
Man, maybe. I mean, all the way in College Grove?
I mean, it's not like College Grove is
way out there, but I mean, it's kind of out there.
I mean, it's out there, but it's not like outside of civilization.
Even with fancy bunny ears, still can't get it, huh? Interesting.
Maybe. It's like, well, you know, deep down inside, did you know that in Antarctica, we only get ABC, but we don't actually get CBS? You know, Michael Jordan in that, like, I think he lived in like rural North Carolina. Michael Jordan did not get, I think it was CBS at the time. Michael Jordan's hometown did not get CBS, which carried the NBA. So Michael was not an NBA fan because Michael couldn't watch the NBA. NBC had baseball, NASCAR, and college basketball, so Michael Jordan was more of a college fan than he was an NBA fan. The greatest player in the history of the NBA could not watch the NBA growing up, so he didn't know much about it. Pretty crazy. Who knows? I'll tell you, I hate all this stuff. I hate, you know, the politicians, the courts, Bally Sports, the streaming packages. I hate all of it. Like, there are certain things in our country that we need to just start from scratch. Like, we just need, you know, it's so convoluted and so we just need to start over. And so many different things. Healthcare, the court system, our TV contracts for baseball, football, basketball, hockey. We just need to start over. College sports, we just need to start from the very beginning on college sports. 615-737-1025. Barry Trotz has said something for the umpteenth time that he's already said on our show twice, that he's made abundantly clear. But I'm not sure that I agree with what he said and what he's planning to do. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.